Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hey, so before we get started, I wanted to talk to you guys about Disney Plus. Now, I know by now you've probably heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From classics like Snow White to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. And if all that isn't enough, Disney Plus even has originals like The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. So don't miss out. Go and sign up today and start streaming and tell them Hayes sent you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Awakened Soul Podcast. For any first-time listeners, I am your humble host, the content king, Mr. CEO Hayes himself is in the building. And on this podcast this week, we have E, the comedian, EP, the comedian, Columbus, Ohio, king of comedy, in the building. I do want to say, before we even get into the segment, so your boy had a little issue. So when I recorded with E, the interview is primarily video. We had on these wireless lapel mics, and there was just some issue with the audio. So the audio is not going to be as crisp as you're hearing my lovely voice right now, immediately. But stay for the interview, because there's a lot of knowledge dropped as far as like us talking about entertainment business in general, black-owned businesses. So please, I'm the audio quality Nazi. Shout out to Dan on drugs who helped me recover this episode, because I was very close to just dropping the whole thing. So, shout out to Dan always, because that's my boy. But other than that, I just want to go ahead and warn you guys that in the main discussion topic, the audio quality is going to drop some. But hopefully the content gets you through, because I think that it's a great interview and you want to listen to it. And, you know, I'm somebody who sometimes I have to make mistakes to make sure that I never do them again. And so this is a mistake that I can guarantee you will never happen again. So, I appreciate you guys' patience through that. So something else that I want to get into before we even get into the In the Mind of Hayes segment, and I just want to jump in, is I don't tell you guys this usually often. Stop whatever the fuck you're doing. Stop listening to this. Turn it off. You can come back. I don't care. Go and listen to Cozy with a Rock. When I tell you that this podcast is one that, like, not only it affected me, like listening to a husband and wife talk about it. And I think it's probably one of the best first episodes of a podcast I've ever heard in my life. And the openness and honesty that's in it is something that I think we don't get a lot of, especially in black relationships. Like, just hearing this is like, I think what we wanted or thought the Red Table Talk with Jada and Will was going to be. So the fact that like you get a husband and wife talking about, and I'm not going to give too much away. All I can say is go listen and you won't be disappointed. You guys know, I there's only a certain amount of podcasts that I really, really fuck with around here. And this is one that I really think that you guys should check out. That's all I'm going to say. But so like I said, go and stop this right now and go and listen to that podcast. And after you listen to it, come back, holla at me. But since you guys are either coming back or you're sticking around, I do want to say one thing off the rip. What we're doing going forward with The Awakened Soul, you're going to hear guests from, you know, all over the place. Some that you haven't heard before in podcasting. I'm actually starting to now foray into having YouTubers on as guests as well. You know, as me, as I get into more video content, creating it myself, and more YouTube stuff in general, we've now gotten to a place to where it's we're working and reaching out to more YouTubers as well to be on the podcast, which is something I'm really, really excited to have on as well. I think the only other YouTube, like mainly YouTube creative that I've had on before is Rhonda Mary, and me and her started around the same time in this creative world. You've heard her on here before, but we're gonna get more and more YouTubers on. So just be on the lookout for that. Like I said, we got some stuff brewing. I'm really excited for the future. Our third year anniversary is coming around. So again, if you can, send me a voicemail to my email. That is theawakensoulpod@gmail.com. We got a call-in line. You can leave it at 614-547-2039. You can send it on Instagram, whatever you want to do. If it's written, voice, whatever, get it in. I would like to hear your thoughts on the first 3 years of The Awakened Soul. If any episodes touch you specifically, I would love to hear you guys' just reaction and just at all. The third year anniversary show is going to drop on the actual anniversary, and it's just going to be a laid-back style episode, so I look forward to interacting with you guys. All right, that's enough. I think that's it. I've been talking enough on this housekeeping. We're going to go ahead, get into a brief break. We're going to get into our intro music, and then on the other side of that, we're going to jump into my dark and twisted crazy-ass mind. I'll see you lovely and beautiful people there. Peace.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my dad.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to In the Mind of Hayes segment. And so I know we had a pretty long intro to kind of just set the tone here. And so I got a couple of topics this week for this segment for you guys. But the first one that I want to talk about is, like, because this is something that I think about. I think if, like, we're going to be doing this as the In the Mind of Hayes segment, I really need to share on not just what's on my mind during, like, news topics or whatever, but what's kind of on my mind just in my life. And so, like, as you guys know, I've made, like, super big adjustments to the studio. Like, even though for the ones who are watching me now, who have been watching me, this may look the same as what it has, as similar to what it has been before. I actually moved even the red and black side of the studio that I recorded The Awakened Soul on. I moved that into a new location. I actually have improved foam padding behind me. It's just a little bit more of an open space now. So if you go back to some of my videos, you can tell, like, the camera angle that I was able to use was, like, really, really close in. Now I can go really wide because I'm just in a wider space, but it's not about that. But so, like, in the course of, like, doing that, since the beginning. So if we go from the beginning of 2019 into where we are halfway through 2020 now, it's easily been about, hell, even the camera I use, that's a $4,000 investment right there. I got a couple of cameras, some new lighting to make the lighting a little bit better. And so it's like I've spent a lot of money, right, to continually improve and improve stuff. And I think to a degree I have, like, this I have to always have, like, the latest tech, right, in the studio. And I actually also got a new, I'm ordering a new computer. That's probably going to be, like, the last major update to the studio for a while, if I can control what I'm about to talk about. But as I wanted to get into, like, short film, I started looking at, like, new computers, because the computer I originally got when I built the studio was just, it doesn't take a lot of computing power to do audio. I wasn't even doing video then, so I didn't kind of future-proof myself there. I am with my next computer purchase, so I won't have to really buy a whole new one. I maybe make slight adjustments to it as I go. But so in that time, like, I've like I said, I've gotten a really expensive cinema camera. I've gotten new lighting, new computers, an extra desk for the other side, the LED lighting, which I've only used the other side of the studio, the other set, once so far. And that was for the most recent episode of Love, Lust, and Badass Soul. So definitely check it out. That full video should be up on YouTube around the same time this episode drops. So you can check that if you want to see, like, the new studio setting live and in the color, because it is a really, really good set, and I do like it and enjoy it. But so with that, like, I've just constantly made updates and updates and updates, and so I'm sitting here and I'm really happy with where I am now. Maybe this is where you guys can start kind of getting on the same page with me. Is like, I really like what I am now, but I'm always looking for something new for some reason, and it's, I can't help it. And so, like, there's like this new aperture light that came out, and I'm like, oh, this would just be amazing. I can go from using two lights to damn near one light. I still need a key light in the back, but it's like, should I do it? No, I shouldn't. I need to stop buying shit. So it's like I have like this retail thing where I'm just always updating the studio. Like, I literally just built this and I'm already thinking about updates and changes I want to make to like one of the walls and shit. It's like, bro, you just built this. Like, it's not even a month old yet. Especially set B, which I really, really love set B. I've only gotten to use it a couple of times so far, because I don't want, even though it's new, I don't want to just start trickling it in there without a purpose. Like, that I built that set specifically for live streaming. That's what it's for. So I'm trying to hold myself to only using it for live streaming, but I'm just constantly trying to change and make adjustments and add new shit. And it's like, look, I think I'm at a really good place. I really do. And I say all this because there was a new camera to come out, and me and Dan actually talked about it. It's the Canon R5. And so that camera shoots 8K. The camera I have now shoots up to 6K. And of course, my brain went to right to like that to justify the new almost $4,000 purchase on another camera. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, wait, just wait. Let me not pre-order it. Let me finish making the other updates that I need to make to the studio. And then at the end of the day, if I feel like there's a reason or a need for it still after that, then we'll look at buying it. So now this camera's like been plagued with like these overheating issues, and I'm not going to bog you down with like the tech talk because this isn't a tech podcast, but it just made me glad that I didn't buy that camera initially, because it seemed to be plagued with a few issues. But you know, so I'm struggling with like the constantly wanting to upgrade new tripods, and like I just need to slow down. And so what I've been doing instead, and if you're watching this, shout out to Jay from Just Say Words, because I have on his merch. So what the money that I would have had to like that I would have used to go into buying and constantly updating my studio, I'm now putting into more black businesses. So I made the decision is that every tee you guys see me in from now on in my YouTube videos for the Awakened Soul, not for Love, Lust, and Badass Soul necessarily. I'll try to do it there too, but it's a little bit of a different podcast. But because I always wear graphic tees or some type of t-shirt when I record these videos, I have now decided, okay, I'm going to put the money back in the community. I got to put my money where my mouth is instead of just constantly updating my stuff. I ordered a lot of t-shirts from other black podcasters. I'm also going to be searching out. There's like this black owned company that makes graphic tees with like sayings on it. I'm going to start buying some stuff from them. So for the rest of 2020, I've made the commitment to putting that money that would have gone into whatever else to upgrade. I'm going to start using that to support some other businesses and give them shout outs by wearing their merch. Like I said, this tee is from Jay from Just Say Words. Tell someone you love him. So make sure you guys go and check it out. I got the green because like I really looked when I was looking at his website and like looking at what was on there. I almost went right to the black because, as you know, like a black is one of my favorite colors. But I was like, you know what? Let me do something different. Let me do the green. Not too many people have green tees. So I'm really happy with this purchase. I feel like it was a good one. And be on the lookout for my fellow podcasters. I'll be buying merch from you guys. I actually ordered from A Few Screws Loose. I also ordered from Steph from the I Said No podcast. And there was another one. Oh, I'm also going to be ordering from AJ from What We're Going to Do with some of his tees as well. So, you know, those I reached out to the I wanted to order from the podcasters that like I really, really enjoy and listen to their content that have helped me first. And then I'm going to start reaching out and ordering from other podcasters as well. So that's just something, you know, while we're talking about what's on my mind and in my mind, I wanted to take some time out to like point out like how I'm trying to refocus my my spending into not only helping other people, but then highlighting other people. I know the YouTube thing is fairly new for me. It's not like I do any huge numbers on YouTube like I do on the podcast side of things, but I will say that with the YouTube thing is that as it grows, man, if I have the opportunity to kind of help some other podcasters get out there and get noticed, even if it's just for teas, if somebody's watching the video and doesn't necessarily know it's for a podcast, they just like the tea, then yeah. And I'm going to start putting links to the teas that I'm wearing in the description, so if anybody else wants to buy them. So yeah, that's it, man. I wanted to talk about that part, but let's get into the actual topics within the Mind of Haze segment. And the first one that I want to talk about is Megan the Stallion, right? So she came out with a video, I believe it was on Instagram Live. She streamed and she finally talked about being shot. She said she was shot in both of her feet. She had to get surgery. It was one of the scariest things in her life. And outside of that, the look on her face, and this is one of the times where I would say watching the video outside of just like reading a transcript or even hearing the words is important, because like when you see the look on her face, where she just was starting to talk about it. And then as she's talking about it, she's definitely hurt. And she didn't say much. She didn't get into much detail about the actual incident and what caused it. She did say that, you know, contrary to some of the stories that were out there, she actually did not put her hands on anyone. So she didn't need to be shot or deserve to be shot at all in this case. And I'm sure she wasn't saying much because, you know, legally, I'm sure that plays an aspect in it as well, as far as why she isn't saying too much, is because legally she probably has been advised not to talk about it too much. So, but seeing it, and, you know, we've talked about it, we'll probably get into it about it a little bit more on the Breaks Radio, get into a little more detail. But it's one of those things where it's like you feel her. And I think seeing her talk about it and seeing her face and seeing her reactions just made you really feel for her even more. Like, you hear somebody got shot in the foot, and I know I've done the joke, so I'm not above this myself. I've done the jokes. We went to like the Harlem Nights thing and we made jokes about it. But at the same time, like, it's rough seeing it. And, you know, she talked about her mom passing away and how her mom was her best friend and the fact that she's still not really over that. And then we know her and Tory were close, regardless if they were dating or not. And the woman's only 25 years old. It's easy to forget that that Megan's only 25. It seems like she's been around for a while and like she's this bigger than life star. But just think about it, where you were at 25, and think about if your parent was taken from you and then somebody that you were close with got into a situation where they shot you. So like, I just wanted to point that out because I felt bad, because I know I've made the jokes as well. I'm not trying to guilt trip anyone, because, you know, as we know, life gets turned into jokes and everything. But at the same time, you know, I wanted to talk about it and just get my two piece out there. Send her my well wishes. Not that it matters, not that she's ever going to hear it. But, you know, all jokes aside, I think at this point we need to let this play out and stuff. So We'll see. And so the next thing that I want to talk about before we end this segment is that over the weekend, there were actually several protests, right? There were protests in Portland, Colorado, Illinois, Virginia, Kentucky, and then I think that was it. So there were protests over the weekend. And one of the things that, you know, I think, and this is where I get into my conspiracy theory hat, not a huge one, but like when the protests were first happening, right? After the George Floyd thing, we got coverage of protests damn near daily, hourly. Everything was about the protests or some fallout, people getting arrested, how such and such was reacting to the protest, what celebrity had something to say about a protest, who was at the protest. And now, as this has gone on for as long as it has, if you notice, the media isn't covering it as much, especially now with sports coming back. MMA has been back the whole time. Basketball comes back this week, which I'm really excited for. Baseball has been on TV with, I think they're still in preseason. And so as everything's starting to come back and the media is now having more things to cover, I think that, in my opinion, is that they're not covering the protests as much. And this, like I said, conspiracy theory hat, in a hope to make other people in other cities forget about it and hopefully calm places down where they can. And that's one of the bad things about when the media controls everything. And, you know, I admit from the top, this may be a complete wrong and incorrect statement on my side, but I really think that the media is now trying its best to keep it as localized as possible, not give it as much national coverage, because they don't want it to continue to break out. They saw how everyone bonded together and that there was like riots in every major city and in some smaller cities as well. And so, you know, it's kind of easy to forget the fact that this is still going on. I know we have the march coming up in D.C. that I really wanted to attend, but just with COVID on the rise again, I may not. But, you know, we got to keep in mind and continue talking about these things, and let's do it effectively. You got to be safe while you're out there, too. I believe there were a few people. I believe the one in Portland, a couple of people got arrested at. And then I know that the one in Virginia as well, that there was some eyewitnesses that saw local black businesses getting broken to, and a dump truck was set on fire. So stay safe out there. Like I said before, like, I don't necessarily agree with rioting. I don't. I agree with protest. I don't agree with rioting, but I understand it. So I understand why it gets to that point. I understand the frustration and everything that gets involved in it, and the emotions from dealing with everything that we've dealt with over the years and the generational shit. I get all that. We've done episodes on it, and I'm not going to get down it. So if you don't know my stance on it, go back and listen to those episodes, because my stance has been very well stated there of why I don't necessarily call for them or agree with them, but I understand them. But I think that just as we continue, we can't let this, we can't get let the comeback of sports and you know, talk about the unemployment being taken away, the extra $600 that have been taken away, or talk of just another stimulus package, make us take away from, if you truly support this Black Lives Matter movement, and it's something that's important to you, don't stay quiet on it. Just keep using it. Even if you're not protesting, even if you're not rioting, we can't let this go away and get faded out now with the media getting back to business as normal, so to say, as more things are reopening. So that's just my opinion on it. I wanted to talk about it because, you know, I find out that it happened in those states. And like, I know, at least for me, we didn't have any media coverage on it here for real. If it wasn't for me, being someone who like watches and tries to see everything on the internet and stays to up to touch on it, I probably would have missed it. So let's not stay quiet on it, right? Let's not let this be something that was just a wave and that fizzled out in 3 months. And it doesn't seem like, I want to make it clear that people are fucking fed up and tired. And I love that people are using their platforms in the way that they have been to a degree, but we can't let them forget. Sports aren't going to deter us at this point. It's not going to deter me. But that's it. That's it during the end of my day. So I'm going to thank you guys for sitting around with me and going through that. We're going to go actually take a break. On the other side of that, we're going to get into the Cookie Chronicles, and then we got the main discussion topic with EP the Comedian. Can't wait to bring you guys that. I'll see you guys right after this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Ludric Rell C. Cooper, author of the new book, Deserving Mercy. This is the Deserving Mercy podcast. Deserving Mercy originally started out as a short film. I then wrote the book, and now I'm here hosting the podcast. It's a story of a young Black college male student who attends a fictional HBCU, that's historically Black college or university. He gets wrongfully accused of a crime that he did not commit. Even though he's innocent, even though he graduates and earns his degree, he still experiences different challenges moving forward with his life. On this podcast, we will be discussing the many different topics that can be talked about in the book Deserving Mercy. That includes wrongfully accused, being wrongfully convicted, HBCU news, and even how to handle stuff like peer pressure as teens. Again, this is the Deserving Mercy podcast. Sit back, relax, listen, learn, and be inspired.
Welcome to the Cookie Chronicles segment here on the Awake Soul podcast. And this week, I want to just express how irritated I am with some people, okay? So everyone knows we're in a pandemic. Like, this has been going on since, what, March? And we're almost in August. And I keep seeing all of these, like, posts and memes that say, you know, if you're not using this time to like better yourself or create a business or generate more income, then you're lazy and you deserve to work for other people. Like, you should be creating your own business and things like that. This is why I'm irritated, okay? This is why. Because I need people to understand everyone is not a leader. Everyone is not business oriented. Some people are okay working for other people, and it's okay. And not only that, but how can I put this nicely? What about the people who've been busting their ass every year for years or for the past year, and they just wanted to use this time as a break? You ever fucking think about that? Maybe sometimes people just need a break. And I don't think that telling people that if they're just sitting and chilling right now, that they're lazy or that they're bottom feeders is the thing to do. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think if you're business oriented and you're in the space to go ahead and create a business during this time, then kudos to you. Okay? Kudos. More power to you, and I hope you succeed and are prosperous and fruitful in everything that you put your hands on. But for some of us who have been multiplying and been fruitful the past year or so, and we need a break, that's exactly what the fuck we're going to use this time for. And we don't need anyone to be judgy. We don't need anyone to talk down to us. We don't need anyone to make us feel like we're less than or that we're not doing anything or enough. in order to appease you, okay? That's not what we're doing. So, for those of you who are business owners, and even if you're not a business owner, if you have been like a single parent or just working extra hard on your job and this is a time where they laid you off or cut back on your hours or now you had to get on unemployment. I know unemployment, the $600 extra you're getting ends this week. So a lot of us, not us because I'm essential, but a lot of people have been making more unemployment than they have weekly from their regular jobs. So if you are one of these people and you took this time to just relax, relate, and release, then I applaud you. Okay, I do. Because I'm one of them people where I have busy friends. Like a lot of my other friends have businesses and they run themselves into the ground. Like they don't know what sleep is. They don't know what rest is. And I feel like sometimes certain things like this come around to make you sit down and relax and reevaluate what's around you. So to those of you who are taking this time to rest and relax, I applaud you. Keep resting and relaxing. Eventually, you're going to have to get up out of it. But keep resting and relaxing. And just make sure that when the time is right and you're ready to get up and move forward, then you can do so peacefully and grace and restfully, okay? Because, again, some of y'all need this break. Some of y'all need to relax. Some of y'all need the mental clarity, okay? So I hope you're using this time however you see fit. And that's whether you need the rest or you're a business owner. However you see fit. And stop being so fucking judgy. People are so judgy. Mind your business. If it's not about you and your pockets or harming the well-being of someone else, mind your business, okay? Mind the business that pays you. And if it ain't paying you, you don't need to mind it. So, kudos to everybody doing their thing during this pandemic. As you can see, if you also listen to Love Less Than Badass Soul, I am now there as a full-time co-host. So that's what I've been doing during this pandemic. I'm also not rebranding Lady Haven, but I got some new inventory in. I have my office space. I've still been working. I have to shoot the new inventory and put it up, but I also have to start gearing up for fall stuff. So I'm still kind of busy. Now I'm taking my time too, because for me, it's all about balance. I am very good at balancing. So I'm doing a little bit of both. For a few days out of the week, I'll rest. And a few other days out of the week, I will work. So I've been doing that. I've also been working on Lady Chronicles, the blog that I might publish soon. I don't know. We'll see. You might be able to catch that on the Breaks Media. And that's it. I've been doing me, minding my business. The ones that pay me, okay? And that's just what it is. So again, I'm applauding. Can't even get my words together. Everyone who has been productive, and that is however you see fit during this time. And I need you guys to continue to be productive and continue to take the time that you need to do whatever it is that you need to be done, okay? And until next week, y'all don't let nobody get under y'all skin telling y'all lazy and y'all not doing enough or y'all not doing nothing. Tell them to mind their fucking business, okay? Do that for me and tell them Tia said it. All right, y'all. I'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Welcome to Technical File, the sports podcast you never knew you needed.
It's your boy, T-I-M-K-I-N-Z, the number 3, a.k.a. Go-Go Power Ranger. Yeah, this is the Black Ranger. It's me, a.k.a. Mr. Give It To Me. It's Ash Ketchum in his bed.
I am the Eric J.
Only known as
the Eric J.
And I'm Camille, point guard of the crew, the real-life Tifa Lockhart, the girl next door. You know, holding it down for all the women who love sports.
And it's your boy, K Harris, the gentleman.
The gentleman.
Also known as K Diddy.
Take that.
But better known as the people's
jabroni.
And that's us. I mean, we four friends come together every week to talk about the biggest stories in sports with our own flair to it. Let me tell you, you ain't never heard a sports podcast that's entertaining before.
Damn straight.
So check us out every Wednesday. Get at us.
a first-time guest on the podcast. Not last time. He'll be back, though. Got my boy EP in the building. What's going on, E?
What's up, man? First of all, I want to thank you for having me over, you know, to be on this podcast. It's an honor just to be over here and chill with you. And, hey, what's going on?
So, E, man, I mean, before we get into any of the topics, we need to talk about you some, man. So, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Based in Columbus, Ohio. Done for Funny Bone. You've opened for DC Young Fly.
Let's go on and on, man. I just wish I had DC Young Fly money. Yeah, I could have charged you for this. But just been in the game for some years. I'll have to say it's been over about 10 years in the game doing stand-up. Got my big break here in Columbus, Ohio, and was able to, you know, pursue the dream and the passion. So, you know, as they say, the marathon.
That's what's up. I feel that. Yeah. So, like, speaking on, like, getting into our first topic, like, something that, your boy DC Young Fly is on, Wildin' Out, right?
Yeah. Carlos, for sure. That's my dude, Carlos.
So, like, the whole shit happened when they came. I know we're a couple weeks late and whatnot on since it happened or whatnot. Uh-huh. But, I guess, like, your whole reaction over it. But more importantly, I think, like, as creatives, as people who, like, creating platforms and shit, you know, kind of the goal for, like, all of us to a degree is, like, to get on these major platforms. But then it feels like we're kind of gag. You can only say so much before they take it all away. What do you think about, like, the way everything goes down?
I actually would have to say I feel Nick Cannon. I don't think he was wrong at all.
Okay.
But I feel with him, with Professor Griff, it was just the platform that he was on.
Okay.
Like, I wish they could have did it over with, because when you have a machine like MTV and them, it always is touchy.
Yeah.
But was Nick Cannon wrong? No. And I really praise him for coming out and saying the things that he did, just because of the fact that he just spoke truthfully from the heart.
Yeah.
But when you have the other people on the other side, you have to be able to, you know, work that middle ground. You know what I mean? So I don't think he was too bad. I mean, I don't think it was bad. I just think the platform of where it was at and with Professor Griff what really hurt him. You know what I mean?
I feel that. I think, too, like, he's come out since and, like, kind of fleshed out his ideas more. I can understand. And I think that's the thing that hurts us in the culture now, is that everything is so, like, bite-sized. Like, a clip from what the total thing that he said got put out there and tweeted out, put on social media, and, like, it made it sound worse than what it was. Mm-hmm. When you actually sit there and listen to the whole interview, it's like, you can see where he's coming from. Could he have said it probably a little bit easier for people? Yeah, but at the same time, you shouldn't have to water down your words to make it easier for people to consume. So it's like, I don't know, I think it hurt him, like, with the whole social media thing that's going on. And like I said, like, taking 30 seconds, you can make anything sound bad if you take the right bit of chunk of it, right?
Right. It just all depends on, like,
yeah,
like, it's edited. You
exactly.
Can edit something here and make it seem like I'm the worst person in the world. Like, why did you have this nigga on here?
Yeah.
But like I said, at the same time, I'm glad he said it.
Uh-huh.
And everything that happens, sometimes people look at everything that happens bad as a bad thing, but obviously something good is coming out of it, because I heard P. Diddy.
Yeah, he got his deal with Revolt. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at the same time, I think, and not to go against, I'm nobody, I'm not even working with the machine, but I don't want y'all to look at me bad, but he with his own people now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's more or less where the blessing is going to come out. Will it be another Wildin' Out through Revolt? I don't know, but whatever it is, it's still gonna manifest to help him.
Yeah, and I think like a good like jumper point to look at from that is like Joe Budden. Like, mm-hmm. he left. What was the name of that show? I don't even watch it anymore. So he was with DJ Academics and shit. Whatever it was, because I damn sure don't watch it. But like after he got let go from that, Diddy also picked him up, and now he has State of the Culture on Revolt, mm-hmm. and he's kind of able to do his thing. We all know, like, Joe Budden, like, for me, in the creative landscape and podcast landscape, Joe Budden is, like, the shit, right? Like, that's who we all aspire to be. So, like, to see that he made his own path with it, and Diddy really allowed him to create this platform that is completely, like, Joe Budden's idea and everything, mm-hmm. like, and Nick Cannon created Wildin' Out, so I know he can easily recreate it, but I hope that he actually does something different now with Revolt, because now he has hopefully a little bit more freedom.
Start your own stand-up comedy show, what was it? Last Comic Standing, anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
I can get on there, Comic View, however you want to do it, Nick. But Wildin' Out, you still gonna get paid on the residual, bro. Let them run the rerun.
You got a good point there, because, like, syndication is a thing, and they got well over, I think you need 100 episodes for syndication. They got, that's not even a question.
That's
what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Nick Cannon on that.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the people like my brother Carlos Miller, like DC Young Fly, like these other people, be like, I'm cool, and step away for a while now?
I think so.
Because, I mean, at the same time, like, Nick, I wouldn't say he gave them their break because they all had a certain platform even before Wilding Out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got to have some type of loyalty. I would think they have loyalty to Nick, right?
I would think that, too.
Yeah, so, like...
I mean, the only one that's going to be pissed is Wilding Out, girl. But.
And even then, they could probably get re-signed, too. Like, I don't know how the contracts work with, like, if they were signed to Nick, if they were signed to Wilding Out, the brand, or if they were signed to Viacom, which is the owner of MTV, but... Right. You know, I'm sure unless they plan on rebranding it and still using it, which at this point the culture isn't going to support them if they try to put a new coast on Wildin' Out. So, yeah, I hope they do follow them, man. Wildin' Out has been something I know for me, like a lot of comedians that were on there even before it got rebranded, like back in the day in the early 2000s and stuff. Like that was a platform that introduced a lot of people to it. So.
That's a fact because a lot of people we wouldn't really know right now. Because of Wildin' Out. Yeah. Like, I feel that DC Youngfly, you brought him up earlier, we would have never knew who he was besides being on, what was that, World Star, talking about Michael Blackson and things of that nature. So, yeah, it did open up doors for so many people, but I know it depends on how my contract was, like you said, or however, but I might have to peace out too.
Have you ever thought about, like, because, you know, and we're going to get into a conversation about Columbus and the creators here in Columbus, but like creating something like that locally, because that, like, I know you work with Funny Bone, which is huge here and everything, but like, since all that kind of shut down, have you ever thought about like what it would be like to create your own internet show or whatnot? Well,
it's funny that you said that, and I was going to talk to you about it, and we had mentioned little conversations that on September 5th, I'm going to do my own comedy way. You know what I mean? Bring people out. One of the things that I do say is I'm from Cleveland, but I will say the 614 has helped brand me on who I am, such as in the comedy game. So what I want to do is to be able to bring other comedians that are from around Ohio to the Capitol to be able to showcase their selves. So now you know who this person is.
That's for sure.
You know, so like I said, and then to be able to have something like this, to be able to film and to be able to put out there will help the culture as well as the comedians and people grow from this. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like I said, Columbus is a big market. You know, like I said, it's the capital. Now you see why everybody migrate to this place because of the fact that, it's opportunity. Whatever you want to get in here, you can. You want to be low-key, you can be low-key. If you want to go out here and be rah-rah, you can get that too. So I just like Columbus a lot, man. Like I said, it boomed, and when stuff popped, it popped. But one thing I have to say, Columbus, we have to be more loyal to each other and keep supporting each other. Instead of just saying, like a restaurant, oh, they food good, and then you never go there again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So keep it going. Keep supporting people like myself because, like I said, without y'all, there's no meat. So.
Yeah, definitely. And like something with with this whole COVID thing, like we've seen a lot of our Black-owned businesses because Columbus, at least when I first moved here, I was surprised because I moved here from St. Louis, Missouri, and there's some Black-owned businesses there, but it didn't thrive like Columbus, Ohio. When I first moved here, like, to see Black-owned boutiques, Black-owned restaurants, like, the first time I walked into Super Chefs, and I was like, that shit's Black-owned, I was like, this is amazing, you feel me? But we've lost some of that in COVID, so, like, how do you think we rebound as a culture? And, like, for me, and something I'm doing now since I'm doing videos that I said that the rest of 2020, every t-shirt that I wear on my YouTube video is going to be from a Black-owned company or Black-owned podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that other cultures and other races have had. Like, Asians almost only buy from other Asians. Mm-hmm. Latinos, especially in, like, New York, the reason why they were able to thrive, they only bought from other Latino markets. Black people, we really haven't had that. We're getting it now. So, like, what do you think about that aspect of
it? I mean, it's just, it don't want to sound against our people, but it's more support.
Yeah.
Like you just said, people buy from each other. We buy from each other, and just because you forgot to put a fork in my bag, I'm cool.
I'm cool
on that spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just more or less us coming together. I think the whole pandemic and everything that's going on in the world right now has helped us try to come more together to be able to support each other. So once we do that, and once we start doing it often, because, mind you, we only make up 13% of the whole continent.
Exactly.
But we spend the most money.
Yep.
So why can't we spend the most money within each other? So once we start doing that through restaurants, through businesses, like you said, apparel businesses, by making our own self buy and saying, oh, man, well, that t-shirt nice, but, you know, I'm cool. You know, instead of just start supporting each other in that way, entertainment-wise, things of that nature, that way we could, you know, pick up a little bit more. But
don't get it twisted. It's a lot of things that go against us as well as trying to start our business.
That's true. Yeah.
So Columbus is growing with that. When I first moved down here, everything was pretty much commercial. Again, a lot of Black-owned stuff, such as restaurants, they up and then they gone, like, after 2 years. So the only thing that I could say is that certain, like, Jamaican restaurants, certain barbecue joints is that, but they don't have a lot of that here. Like, if you go to my hometown, Cleveland, you got barbecue spot restaurant all over the place. So, yeah, it's just more or less the support to make sure that we help each other out.
For sure.
That's all it is. I mean, just coming together. We got to do that more, people.
Yeah, and by the way, while we're shouting out Black businesses, because I know we all buy tennis shoes, Soul Classics. If you in Columbus and you haven't hit up Soul Classics, yeah, you're missing out, because that's like the one of the only Black-owned tennis shoe dealers that we have here. And they dope, and they have great customer service as well. So make sure you're checking out Soul Classics.
Yeah.
So we kind of naturally got here. But like, especially because I think we're both transparent. You're from Ohio. I came to Ohio wholly new, but like the creative culture in Columbus, and I, like, some of the people that stand out, we got Flypaper Magazine, Black-owned magazine company, digital magazine company. We got Cassius Keys, one of the biggest independent artists right now in the total Midwest. Like, he toured in Japan. You feel me? That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. We got the damn it, I'm at a loss for some of the artists that we got here. I interviewed them on podcast. I'm at a loss for names. Don't hold it against my heart. My mind, I'm getting old as shit. We got Climax Communications, which is another one that's like cultivating artists and shit. So, like, what do you think about like the growing creative culture that we have for the multifaceted? Because it's not just music, it's not just clothing, it's a little bit of everything there. What do you
keep
think about?
Grinding?
Okay.
Keep grinding. That's all I can say. Because like we talked about earlier, I want Black realtors, Black doctors, Black dentists. Let's start supporting each other. Yeah. And once you start taking each other, you know, more in a professional sense, instead of having your own personal feelings toward that situation or towards that business, you know, we could all complain about McDonald's, but you're still going.
That's a fact.
So, that's, you know, like I said, just keep grinding. Let's keep supporting each other. Keep helping each other. Just because somebody may ask, oh, yeah, I'm asking you to shoot this video, well, you want a certain amount. Well, just work with that person. You know what I mean? Yeah, more of that nature, instead of each other turning their back on each other. But once we get that culture together and we grind it, keep grinding, man. I love everything that I see that's out here and everything that I'm seeing, reading, cats putting together, YouTube videos, things of that nature. And keep grinding, man. We all going to get there.
For sure. For sure. I think we try to kind of undercut each other, but at the same time, we need to help lift each other up, because everyone's looking for... Remember, when I was going to the protest after the everything was going on, and somebody saw me pulling out my camera, he was like, how much would you charge for to do a music video?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, this is kind of my rate. He was like, damn, it's kind of pricey. And I was like, well, let me hear your music. His music was dope. I was like, bro, we can work on what budget you got to, because this needs to get out here. Mm-hmm. We haven't got a chance to shoot it yet, but I think, like, I get it. Set your prices for what they are, and that's something that, you know, everyone's always, let me not say everyone, but a lot of times we suffer from, we don't want to give people discounts because these are our prices. But at the same time, you kind of got to barter with people sometimes. And it helps each other. If it's mutual. Yeah. If it's mutual.
I mean, at the same time, like you said, it's a handshake. So if you could go ahead and help me help you, then that way it'll rebound off. Somebody might see that rap video that you did that now they want to pay you more because now they see what you have done. You know? So it's just more or less like, you know, the universal circle. To let everything process and everything to progress through, you know, working with each other. But, you know, a lot of things we got to stop, though, too, people, is we got to understand the quality of what we get. And don't say you're a cameraman and show up with a Polaroid camera talking about you charging $300 either. Yeah, be true to what you got, your equipment, you know, your setup, things of that nature. So, yet, that way you can bring that professionalism out toward whatever you're doing. But don't be talking about you a comedian and you telling me jokes that you heard on Netflix and stuff, man. Talking about you want to get on stage. So
it's still in jokes a thing in comedy, like it is like still in bars and in rap.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Like, does that happen though?
Oh, it happens. You know, I've caught people. Me and my homies, they caught people saying our jokes, and we like, what? Bro, you seriously don't go out there and try to say something thinking that we weren't going to hear it, they weren't going to get back to us. So,
you know, the comedy game is just like the rap game and anything else. You know, yeah. Just stay true and stay positive to what you're doing, and you know, just be creative. You know, but don't try to be too creative where you stepping over the people's toes that have established themselves and been in the game. I mean, and that's just with anything you do. Doing clothes, don't steal this man's design and put it on your, you know, your label. Don't steal their recipe and start cooking it over here. Like, come on. So let's just start working together, being true with each other. Instead of you stealing his idea, try to work with this man and try to grow to find your way. You know, we don't do that enough. We don't want to work with each other.
I feel it.
Everybody feel like they're the damn CEO. You know, so
I feel it. So I know I wanted to give this episode more than just talking about you being a comedian, because that's like the easy thing to go to, right? Mm-hmm. But I share personal stories on here all the time, so I got to ask you this, bro. All
right, here we go.
Every comedian has a story of the time, one time they bombed. Uh-huh. What's a time you bombed and you learned something from? Because I feel like people who listen to this who may want to get into comedy, they can get a lot out of that, man. So, uh-huh. Like, if you feel comfortable sharing this story.
I feel comfortable. Whatever you want to talk about. I really can't think of an experience. I have bombed before, but I can't really think of an experience. You know, one thing that I can say is don't heckle a comedian. And the only reason I say that is, remember one thing, y'all. This motherfucker got the mic. The crowd is not going to hear you that over what he said.
That is true.
But yeah, I have experienced bombing. But bombing, and this is what I'm going to tell you. If you're a young comedian and you want to get in the game, it's called the Comedy Bible. In the Comedy Bible, it tells you everything that you're going to experience in this industry. Bombing is a good thing.
Okay.
You could go to Columbus, Ohio, or St. Louis, or however, and think you the shit and get up there and they ain't relating to you. Or you could go out there and you could see that, yeah, it would check you on what you thought you were to see that there's other people out there that's just as good or better than you.
Yeah. For sure.
So you have to, it's a thin line to the cockiness as well as confidence. But I probably bombed probably once or twice over my career. But it was more or less of doing ignorant shit, such as getting too drunk and throwing rhythm off, getting too high, smoking, and throw your rhythm off. So now just to be able to perfect the craft, to perfect the skill, it's kind of hard for me to get in that label now. I mean, nerves is there, but nerves are a good thing. But bombing is not a bad thing. So being bombed, one time I bombed. And I was opening up for a big name. I ain't going to say it. But he came out and said, give it up for EP. That means exit, please. So, stuff like that. But yet, that comes a part of the territory. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, that didn't do nothing. But I didn't. And don't be in that salty aspect of, oh, man, forget you. Blah, blah, blah. No, take it. Embrace it. Stand up to it. Be a man and say, yeah, I fucked up. But when I come back, I'm coming back harder. It's a good thing. So I don't look at that as a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's like being open for a layup and miss a layup. You know, just don't miss none no more. Or try not to miss none, I guess. So, yeah.
Has social media as a comedian, has it made it harder or easier for you?
Harder.
Harder?
Harder. Because one thing I learned when I just came back from California is the social media game is on another level. And I'm getting old and I'm getting lazy. I ain't got time to be looking at that shit unless I'm sitting on the toilet. You know what I'm saying? So to be posting, I'm trying to get the TikToks popping. You know, I'm happy when I get over 1,000 views or likes or whatever. But, you know, you got to keep grinding. So it's making the game harder because, being somebody that's on stage, being somebody in a couple of movies and things like that that I've been in, it's harder because, now you have to race with the people that are 100% on social media. And a lot of social media comics, and I'm going to put this out there for y'all that's thinking about that. A lot of them ain't funny on stage.
Bro, I'm not going to say no names.
Ain't funny on stage, so.
I'm not going to say no names, but last summer I went and saw a Facebook, Instagram comedian live, and I walked away from that saying, never again, bro.
It happens. Like I said, just because you could be funny behind this
don't
mean you could be funny on that actual stage. And that's where, like I said, the whole movement of the correlation goes. So I'm trying to be able to channel to find that equal medium in both. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's either you lazy or you scared. So I'm trying to get out of that lazy mode to be able to perfect something different to be able to get out to
that makes sense.
the industry of Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. That's what's up.
All right, man. I got nothing else, man. Go ahead and plug. Hey, give me your social media. Follow your boy, man.
EP_comic. I'm sorry if I'm clapping through this mic. Like I said, EP_comic on Facebook, just Eric Patterson. I'll get back with y'all on the YouTube. Cordero going to help me with that. But it's a pleasure being here with y'all. It won't be the last. So I'll holler at y'all.
All right, man. Y'all heard him. Go check him out. Go and support him. We're going to be working
support
together.
Support this man, too, man.
I'm just your local neighborhood asshole. That's all, hey, man.
That he is. That is a fact. Right there. All right.
Man, we out. Peace.
This shit is stereotypical, blame rap, yeah, very original.
Wow.
I am not holy or spiritual, you being overly critical, media throwing subliminals. They wanna make this political, y'all put the anal in analytical. Reporting the truth is a miracle these days, and we need the proof. Wait, it's just a phenomenon. Yeah. Middle finger in the air, hair down, and I'm feeling like Shaka Khan. Woo! Through the fire, no Babylon. Yeah. Only villain in the Comic Con, popping M's all night, Shyamalan. If she's a 10 and she get the dick, she might just get the decathlon. Yeah. My liquor darker than the neck with Comic Con. Sprinkle Molly like it's Parmesan. Raised in the jungle, no Amazon. Should've booked me during Ramadan. Yeah. Soccer moms, I'm sorry you left with your ovaries traumatized. But I'm about to give you a reason to overly dramatize, 'cause I never apologize.